Our Old Testament scripture reading comes to us from 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 11 and then 19 through 22. Let us listen to the word of God. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations." The thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots." But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us so that we also may be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to their voice and set a king over them." Samuel then said to the people of Israel, "Each of you return home." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's sometimes hard to hear the truth. Someone I know was struggling with hip pain a while ago. Every time he got in and out of the car, he had this excruciating pain. Hurt to exercise, so he stopped. Eventually, this person reluctantly decided to go see a surgeon about it, hoping to find a solution, maybe a quick fix. The surgeon told him two things: you're getting older, and you need to lose weight. The doctor told me I'm old and fat. It's the last thing I wanted to hear, the person said. It's hard to listen, especially when it becomes personal. For me, I write everything up here I have as a script, but a few years ago, I decided I didn't need a script. I thought it would be more authentic, more relatable. Finally, months after doing this, someone brave enough told me the truth. They said I developed this bad habit of saying, Just every time I paused, I would say, I had no idea. I hadn't realized it, that I had developed a stutter while in the pulpit. Then I started wondering how long I'd been doing it and why hadn't anyone told me about it until now. It's not always easy to hear the truth. It's not always easy to tell the truth. But oftentimes it's necessary. It can be helpful. I'm sure there have been times when somebody's told you the truth, even if you don't want to hear it. Or on the flip side, you've had to share the truth with a loved one or a friend, but it's hard because it might be taken the wrong way or understood as criticism. There's this delicate balance of how to tell the truth, when to tell it, if the person's open to hearing it. Oftentimes, spouses, parents, close friends are good at figuring out how to do it, but even they can be stumped. It's where we find ourselves today in 1 Samuel. Samuel is wise and follows God in everything that he does. And while Samuel is still able, he's wisely established his sons as judges in the further region so they can gain this experience before they rule the whole land. Without knowing it, through his leadership, he began this shift in Israel from a judge to a judge to a new way to govern by creating a dynasty from uncertainty to an instability to a more permanent system of judges, sons following their father. But there's one big problem. Samuel's sons don't walk in his ways. Instead, they seek plunder, they take bribes, they twist justice, they're corrupt leaders. And the Israelites are quite concerned about his appointed heirs, so they address the aging Samuel before things get out of hand. After roughly 200 years of Israel having judges, the elders approach Samuel, telling him that they want a king. Nobody wants to be the last of anything. They share their concern with him. They provide this alternative. And certainly as a leader, maybe as a father, it's probably the last thing Samuel wants to hear, that he didn't raise his kids well, that they didn't turn out the way he had planned. We can easily put ourselves in Samuel's shoes. He's given his entire life to the nation of Israel, possibly even at the detriment of his own family. I'd imagine he takes this news a bit personally. He's especially reticent when he hears that they want a king to govern them. Now, we know he was faithful, but I wonder if it stung because he felt underappreciated. Even in his old age, he had carefully planned, he had envisioned, he had sacrificed, not only as a judge, but also as a prophet over these many years. I'm sure he had thought this through and the difficulties of kingdom, what they would entail. Additionally, their argument about wanting to be like all the other nations, that didn't cut it for Samuel. It's as if they didn't understand they were supposed to be different as Israelites, set apart, not like all the other nations. Now, if we look deep into Scripture, we might discover that at the end of the day, he didn't like what he was hearing. He didn't think they had good enough arguments. He could even argue this theological significance, the problem of having a king to govern them rather than God. Yet, like any of us hearing difficult things we don't want to hear, Samuel sticks his heels into the mud. And he isn't going to move. He decides to make it difficult for everyone. Not only was he insulted, but they rejected his sons, and he was ready for an all-out battle, figuratively, of course. But luckily, in Samuel's frustration, he seeks God's counsel. He's probably hoping to hear God say that he's right, which he hears a little bit, but God's answer isn't quite the answer he's hoping for. In short, Samuel must anoint them a king. However, this reluctant judge misses the command of God and only acts on the final words of the command. He's all too ready to warn them about having a king, which doesn't dissuade them. To the twice uttered command to make them a king, Samuel does nothing. Then the third time, in verse 22, God commands the prophet to make Israel a king, and yet Samuel refuses again. He sends them to their homes. It isn't until God brings Saul to Samuel's door that Samuel anoints Saul as king. The story is filled with things we face even today. It's incredibly complex. It deals with power and agendas, a needy culture. It's filled with a terrified people, a reluctant judge, God. While it's thousands of years old, it reminds us that decision-making is never easy. Hard choices are always there. The will of God is never simple to discern, and the truth is not always easy to hear. When I was a missionary in Kenya, I helped plan a church fundraiser. The elders wanted to have a barbecue because it always raised funds. It was easy. But the young adults had this idea about having this fun day filled with games, activities, corporate sponsors, t-shirts, camel rides. And while it was incredible, we had a lot of fun. It was one of the worst fundraisers they'd ever had. They didn't raise a penny, but God still provided wealth in this situation, just in a different way. Somehow, in the brilliance of letting these young adults try it, the congregation learned a lot. They learned the elders trusted the young people more than they had ever thought. They were willing to try something new. They learned bigger isn't always better. They discovered young new leaders. Through all of it, to fail and learn can still be productive. It just didn't help raise any funds. The session here at our church last month approved a task force to look into adding a new Presbyterian hymnal. I know this is one of the most stressful topics for a pastor. It's in lots of books out there. Besides running a capital campaign, is introducing a new hymnal. I know you're wondering why we even need a new hymnal if we print all the hymns anyways, right? I know you have a strong opinion about this, but before you start digging your heels too deep into that mud like Samuel, I want you to think about that hymn, Amazing Grace. Think about the words. There's probably a time when you sang this hymn where it really hit you, where it struck deep inside you. Maybe it was at a funeral or at a retreat here in worship sometime. Maybe it was when you were deep down in that pit and those words just spoke to you. Every time we sing that hymn again and again, each of us sings the song with those feelings. We come together as a congregation, each with those experiences, and we sing it mighty and proud, and we love that song. Now, at some point, there was a time when that hymn was new. Nobody had ever sung it before or heard it. Then later on, they added the last verse, which isn't written by John Newton. When we've been there 10,000 years. Now, that's the only way I've ever sung that hymn. I'm so glad they were willing to change and update that hymn because those words are very powerful. Now, another hymn that we sang last week is Here I Am, Lord. We sing it every year when our elders and deacons are ordained. It's not an easy song to sing, but it's powerful and moving. It was written in 1981. It's not in our current hymnal or the small one, but it's so much meaning. It brings so much meaning, and it's one our church loves to sing. When I think about hymnals, I think about our great grandparents. They got to choose and introduce a new hymn book. Then our grandparents, now we get to. And then in 25 years, these children here who passed out these ties, they'll get to introduce a new hymn book. About every 25 years, each generation introduced new hymns and songs. We won't be getting rid of our current hymnal. We'll just add this new one. I hope that you pray for our leadership, for the Council of the Worship Committee, for the session, for the new task force leaders, Christine Smith and Jacob Smetters, as they explore the best way to introduce it. Before you dig your heels in the mud, pray for your pastor, too. And I hope getting a new hymnal can be as exciting as the latest and greatest phone, where people line up the night before, because it's an exciting endeavor. It's a neat thing to hear songs that are written by women that are from different cultures, that are exciting and new, that are old and lovable. Now, certainly, we've felt like Samuel has. There have been times when God hasn't given us the answer that we want. There have been times when it's hard to follow God's will. There have been times when we try to resist, when we stick our heels in that mud. Yet if you're anything like me, it's so good to hear Samuel's story, this complex and frustrating, aggravating story that he's part of, mostly discover that we're not alone. For thousands of years, even someone as close to God as Samuel, someone who has a direct line to God, even he resists three times, and he has good reasons. I feel relieved that he doesn't want to hear it or do what God tells him to do. I feel relieved when he's not happy with God's answer, because there have been times when I felt that way. And I guarantee there will be many more times when I, like Samuel, will dig my heels into the mud. But I also recognize there's hope. That God's way is better than ours. Now, eventually, King Saul leads to King David. And then when we open up the New Testament, the very first verse, Matthew 1:1 says, an account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David. Samuel didn't know it at the time, but these kings eventually led us to the king we all need, Jesus Christ. And if there's hope for Samuel, then there's hope for each one of us. Open your ears to what God is calling you, even if it's not what you wanted, because God gives us exactly what we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.